I'm Matt Gilhooly, and this is The Life Shift, candid conversations about the pivotal moments that have changed lives forever. Hello, my friends. This is the end of season one. And so what I wanted to do to celebrate this moment is to share a bonus episode of the ends of all 32 episodes from season one. So if you're a regular listener, you know that I talk to my guests at the end and I like to ask them a question about maybe something that they would say to the person that they were right before their life shift, or I ask them for some advice for someone that might be going through something similar, something along those lines. And so I thought it was interesting because so many people are saying very similar things. And what this tells me is that the human experience is very similar. And we've been talking about this throughout all of these episodes, that, you know, we might be going through something different on the surface from someone else, but we're all going through this human experience. And my hope was that we would create these episodes that would make everyone feel a little less alone and develop a community. And I think we're doing that. So without further ado, here are the endings to all 32 episodes of the Life Shift podcast season one. And we will be back next week with season two of the Life Shift podcast. Talk to you guys soon.
First and foremost, and if this is all you can do, do it. Radically accept where you are, who you are, what you're feeling. Embrace that acceptance. If it's terrible and awful, it's terrible and awful. Accept that. If you're sad, accept that you're sad. If you're pissed off, accept that. I am pissed. This is ridiculous. I can't believe this is happening. And accept that. Accept your feelings. Accept who you are. Accept where you are in that situation. And that's okay. Those feelings are they're normal and they're fine. I think I get caught up in trying to push those aside, and it's all it is delaying the inevitable.
I think so often in relationships, whether they're friends or like intimate relationships, marriages, whatever, that we put so many other people ahead of us, right? And we constantly are like, I have to give this person and give and give and give. And then you give so much to that you get to a point where there's nothing left of you to give. You're only giving that person, right? And even in those situations, like in this, where it wasn't ideal, we were really going down the road of getting divorced, and I was still giving everything I had to it in order to save it.
Right.
If I went back in time, I would have walked away so much earlier on because my needs were no longer being met.
I mean, I think my biggest piece of advice, it would be to really try to do things that get outside yourself, right? And this might be sound cliche, but like, go and do something that like helps someone else, right? Or like, yeah, exactly. Or like makes you super uncomfortable, right? And that could be as easy as like volunteering somewhere of something that makes you uncomfortable, but like push yourself into areas that make you feel uncomfortable. I was super uncomfortable talking about emotional things. Like I literally just would not. And everything was sort of like the show and the presentational piece of it, right? So, you know, pushing yourself to go to therapy or go, you know, someplace that makes you uncomfortable to help someone else, or if you have a bad relationship with your family or your whoever it is in your family, go be there to help them, and like really like pushing yourself. That helped me so much. And like in the fact that it was sort of forced, you know, like all of these circumstances happened that I had to deal with all of this stuff.
I think it was really important to go through it. You know, one of the things that I struggled with back then was needing to know the outcome, needing to know what would happen, because it was part of that control issue that I had. And so back then, I think that it would have been helpful for me to have been told, yes, this is going to work, right? Everybody wants to know what the answer is instead of having to go find it and do the work, right? We all want the shortcuts. And so I think back then I would have wanted the answer and said, why couldn't somebody have told me this earlier? This is definitely going to work. But being the older, wiser, different person that I am today, I would say it's better that I didn't have that, even though I would have wanted it, because it was a learning process for me, right? It was a process for me learning to listen to my intuition, to learn to trust the things that my body and my mind were telling me to explore and research the things that were potentially coming up and say, is this intuition? Is this what this looks like? Is this what this feels like? Can I trust it? And, going down this path, I think was an integral process for me in learning how to trust that my body knew how to heal itself.
I'm trying. I want to be that for people because I think they deserve it. I think they might not realize how amazing they are and how strong they are and how important they are in their community and in their family and in their friend circle, but they are so pivotal and they deserve to have support. I found a lot of support in music as well. That's, I, on my car rides to the doctors, I would crank music and just like belt it out. I'm sure the people next to me in the cars were like, whoa, what is going on? But, oh yeah, I'm going to get some shots for infertility, crank up the music, but whatever works.
The mess is your message. The mess is your mess is your message. What you've gone through in your life is exactly what you're supposed to speak on and help others and be in service to others with. It's just like love is law, right? Your mess is your message. If you're willing, right, to share the message, if you're willing to serve with the message, if you're willing to give the message. But it's why you're here. It's your purpose. It's your purpose in life. It is.
Well, and you have to find the silver lining. Otherwise, you're stuck in that negative window of like, why me? Why me? Why me? And that's not going to do any good for you or anyone else. I remember somebody saying to me, like, when something bad happens, like, sit with it for whatever amount of time. If you need to sit with it for an hour, if you need to sit with it for a day, like, tell yourself, I'm sitting in this. I'm going to sit in this grief. I'm going to sit in this why me, this horrible, like, and get all of that out. And then, move on. Not move on, but like, find the positive in it and move forward. Because if you sit in that grief is the best way to put it. If you sit in that and never leave it, you're never going to move past it. You're never going to like grow. You're never going to move forward. Like, you're always going to be sitting in this pocket, and that's where you're stuck.
You're not going to live your life.
Yeah. 1000%. Yeah.
We all do the best that we can at the time, and we live and we learn and we go on. That's with any circumstance, but there's no, people are so different and process the same input in different ways. And that's okay. In reflecting on all of this story today, there's parts of it that even I cringe at if I were a third party observer, I would have certain thoughts about how I reacted or what happened next but I wasn't, I am not ashamed or would change anything even, because we just do the best we can at the time.
I do try to focus on, as we said, all the positive things, all the good things. Life is so beautiful. Love is so beautiful. And if we allow ourselves to shut down and remain in this, at this like plateau, it doesn't do anyone good. it surely won't do myself any good. So I still find that I sometimes am taking it one day at a time. I think I'm doing well. And then when I look back on something that seems very recent, I'm like, oh, wow, I think I was still in a fog then. Like, it's very interesting how you perceive yourself in the moment and how you can perceive yourself when you look back on it. To answer your question, I, you know, am doing as okay as I think I can be doing in this moment.
If you've got something that is clear to me as it was that music was a part of me, like, there's no point in ignoring it. You're just going to keep going back to it. So lean into it, you know, turn it into, and the way things are now, everything is so like niche specific and everything, that just find your people and yeah, lean. I feel like it's better to lean harder into that than to try to fit yourself into these other structures that exist out there that don't have anything to do with you. So
I think that after my mom died, I was living my life for other people and for what their expectations were and for whatever society thought that, you know, you should do next and what, you know, whatever that's, you know, being good in high school to go to college and then go to get a graduate degree and then get a good job and then get promotions and all that stuff, right? That society's telling you to do. And I think when my grandmother died, when she took that last breath, it was like, I'm going to do whatever I want at this point, right? Because at the end of the day, this is how it could end. And I want to be laying here with people by my side that matter and can be there for me and we can be there for each other. And so, yeah, I think I went, you know, that first part of my life, I was living for other people and now I'm living more authentically for myself, which, you know, if we can learn from terrible situations and find the value in them, I'm thankful for these moments, as tough as that is to say, because they've created who I am at this point. And, you know, and it's allowed me to be open enough to have these conversations on this podcast, right? To be inquisitive enough to know that we all have these stories and they're so different, but yet the human experience is very similar. We're finding a lot of commonalities between what we're saying. So I'm thankful for it.
Looking back on it, like, oh, it sucks. Looking back on that, I'm like, I just wasted so much time. And you have to, when I look back, it's like, you look at that kind of societal pressure and stuff as a learning lesson to make you a stronger person.
Breaking out of imposter syndrome. And it was a lot of the mental work. I've done a lot of like shadow work and working on who I am and those things. And that has all contributed to it. But I really think taking that massive risk and betting on myself. And that's the thing. When you bet on yourself, you know, that's great because it's house money. And that's what it is. You're like, I bet on myself to move across the country and make it happen. And I did it because there was no other option. And if it didn't work, then it didn't. And I moved back. But it's all about that first day, instead of being like, well, what if it doesn't work out? I don't give a shit about what ifs. It's like, right now I'm there. Right now I live in LA. Right now I'm a working successful voice actor and coach. Those things could change, but that shift helped me to understand more about me, you know? So I think you asked me in the beginning, are you grateful? Are you grateful for all of those? And absolutely.
Driving back to New York, that primal scream drive back to New York in the middle of the night, those outbursts shook something loose. I wouldn't wish that experience or that, you know, that moment on anybody, but because it came from a place like just an old, like years and years of routine and just kind of these knots of saying yes to things that you didn't believe in. And I am in no way, I'm not bashing any of the work I did, but I was just, you know, just saying yes. I was on autopilot and just finding my way through it and having a great time doing it. So I don't regret any of it, except that you're right. Like, everything that happened was a necessary step towards making this big push that I guess on paper doesn't sound that dramatic, but the nuance between, you know, living your life and living the life that looks like, you know, to everybody else, they're like, what are you, crazy? Like, you're actually like doing it. Like, you moved to New York and you're like working all the time. And I was like, yeah, it looks great. I am so unhappy.
I would tell that 2018 version of myself to trust exactly where you are in that moment of time. Trust the discomfort. Trust the not knowing. Trust the fear. And trust that what's on the other side is beautiful.
Maybe it cracked wide open in like a good way. Now I can create like a mosaic table out of it or something, you know? Like, I think all of the beauty is still there. I just think it's, you know, and it's ever evolving. It might be a mosaic table for a while and then need to be repurposed at some other point, right? Because it's like, that's how it's going to happen. But I do think that, you know, you get to a point and I think that, not to get too like, you know, woo woo about it, but you know, it's like, I have this like little creature that I like did not expect to have in my life. I mean, I told that story and it's like, I feel like every day I'm like, there are ways. I mean, even like professionally, I have some things unfolding that like I never would have predicted or even planned for in a million years, but it's like being open and being ready and, you know, and also saying like, I don't just have to do that because it's there, right? Like, I really want to make sure it's the right thing, at least for now. It might not be the right thing forever. And so I feel like that's where the vase is at. It's like, yeah, maybe it's like broken into shards and like, that's okay. That's where it's at right now, but it doesn't mean it can't still be something.
The universe definitely was shining down on me in those moments. Here is your lifeline. Here is your, you know, little buoy that I'm going to toss to you. It's your job to recognize the opportunity and take it, kind of thing. Definitely.
Yeah, it started out very selfish, right? The whole thing just started out very self-consumed. And I find now every time we make decisions, we think about how can that better serve our family? How can that better serve our community? How can that better progress God's will for our lives? Like, are we stepping into that, right? Are we really? And so now it's like a full circle. We've gone from just being very self-led to very like service-led. And every decision we make now is in some capacity, how can we serve other people with this? How can we serve our family better? How can we serve the folks that want to support us better? And it's humbling, and I'm emotional all the time. The fact that I got through this whole interview without crying, I did choke up a little bit there, but you know, it's just like, I am very vulnerable and that's okay now. It was never okay before. It was always just like, oh, I got to protect everything. You know, my feelings, my emotions, all this. And then of course our children bring that out of us. They are the walking beings of our emotions.
Obviously, it wasn't just me. Like, you know, you have to have a good support system. You have to really have people who believe in you. Without my husband, like, I wouldn't have been able to do any of it. I'm super grateful that he even married me, knowing what a mess I was, right? Like, and still, like, he didn't know I was going to get sober a month into our marriage, right? Like, I mean, he lucked out, but he couldn't have known that. Like, he was invested, right? So that's really, he was instrumental.
You wait till the end of this thing to make me cry. Oh my gosh. Oh. One second. Okay. I think I can answer this. I think I would say that it's not always going to be like this. You know, it's survivable, and also get therapy when you get older, because like you can't. For years I tried to just tough it out, but you can't. It's eventually going to catch up to you, and you have to. It's fine to talk to your friends and family, but you have to talk to a professional and someone who's not connected to you personally to be able to give you objective insight into your own shit that you're, that's happening as a result of that trauma. I mean, you can't see that on your own. I mean, now sometimes I'm able to see it on my own because I have been to therapy so many times for these things, but I would say to 6-year-old Diane, like, it's not always going to be like this. Also, get closer to your sister. I would tell her that, and get therapy because it's only going to at least improve your outlook on how you move about the world and other people, because how you relate to other people, because it's relating to other people is a struggle because of the people that were supposed to have loved me that didn't. Right. So, yeah, that's what I would say.
In that moment, I would say to him, keep doing what you're doing. You'll be ready when you're ready. Yeah. It's also in the spirit of, I really believe, especially when it comes to addicts and alcoholics, that it's detrimental to break their fall. We are a very stubborn people, and the more safety nets you throw us, the more we take advantage of it. It's just absolutely the most obvious. We all know this. There's no arguing this. Go to Al-Anon and you'll hear, you know, centuries of people who will admit that that's true. So yeah, for me to go back to him and say, stop, is absolutely illogical. I would say, here's more. Like, get to that bottom. Get to that bottom. If you have to, let's find it quicker. Yes.
Be patient with yourself in the process. Yeah, just be patient.
You don't have to take life so seriously. I think being a perfectionist has been definitely at the top of my list sometimes. And, you know, don't overthink too much. I think I would say to myself, because life is too short, you know, enjoy the moments, enjoy the little moments. Yeah.
Oh man, the adventures that await you are like so incredible. And like the struggle that is today is not worth crying over, not worth throwing the towel in over, you know? There are a lot of days where I was like, oh my God, this is like not worth it. I don't want to do this anymore. And like, if I would have known then, like all of these beautiful things that I would find here, I don't want to say that I would have done it sooner, because I think I needed that time also. But I think maybe, I guess, just take life a day at a time, and it's, you're going to get where you need to be. And where you are right now is where you need to be.
I would say start healing sooner. I missed out on a lot of life. And while I would never want anyone to go through the things that I went through, from my childhood to my adult life, I am grateful for the experiences, because I am who I am because of them. But if I would have started healing sooner, I could enjoy a lot more of my life. I'm 7 years old today in my eyes. And, you know, I'm a 34-year-old adult that relates to 7-year-old in terms of my emotions. And I could be a lot further ahead if I would just be vulnerable to the healing journey sooner.
I would say thank you for believing in me. Thank you for creating an opportunity to be a larger version of myself. And thank you for being who you are.
I would say, girl, you are about to go through the hardest life change that you've ever experienced, but it is going to make you stronger. It'll help you understand who you are as a person on your own. And it will make you realize that you are far more resilient than you ever expected. And to be honest with you, the life I have now is so much more exciting and rewarding than it was before. Like breaking free of that bubble that my entire worldview has changed. I mean, I look at life totally different. I realized the importance of relationships with everybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just about one person at this point. Like, I see how important it is to have friendships and have like just a diverse group of people around me. And I'm so grateful for where I am right now and that I went through that change.
I would just tell myself to hang in there and just face, like, don't tuck it away, face it. You know, like, the best form of growth comes when you face those challenges, because what comes on out from the other side is way better than what is right here. But you have to go through that to get to that side, because you're going to learn. And whether it's something you want to learn or it's something that life just throws at you that you have to learn in the moment, you know, it's just, you know, I'm very pessimistic as it is. So like, if you can change your thoughts and you try to make it like as optimistic as possible, I think that's a big help too. It's just rewiring the way you think about it, you know, and that's an addiction thing in itself, is like, don't react on reaction, you know, like, because my reaction is, oh, I want a drink. But if I wanted to go do that, I would just go get a drink. But if I say, oh, I want a drink, and then I let myself sit with that, and then I think about it for a second, then I'm like, no, I don't. Let's just go drink a seltzer water or something like that. You know, it's that kind of stuff. So yeah, just patience, just hang in there. It gets better. It's hard, but that's life. You know, it's, lean into it and just kind of enjoy your friends. Tell your friends you love them. You know, coming from a family that doesn't say it a lot, but you know, like, yeah, just the things you care about, take care of them, take care of yourself.
I love that. Make sure you have you taken care of and squared away, because without you, you're not going to be able to help other people.
I think I would just look back and tell her, like, it's okay to feel what you're feeling. Like, it's normal to feel this way. It will be okay. She's perfect.
What would I say to myself? Good for you. Good for you always going after what you want. Good for you not doing it the traditional way. Good for you for taking the risk that might result in someone saying no to you, but at least trying. Good to you for doing it differently. Good for you for being authentic. And good for you for just being who you are and doing what you want. And good for you for being practical. Because had he said no, who cares? Never gonna see him again. So why not?
Well, one, I would allow him to go through all of the stuff that I did now, because I love where I am right now. It's the best life ever. So it's the whole butterfly effect. That being said, if I were to go back and give advice to that person, I think some things that I would say is, number one, hire coaches sooner, because they accelerate the speed of growth. And I think about, for the longest time, I didn't have coaches until I had my first one. And I remember paying $2,000 or $3,000 for a brand coach. And I was legitimately nervous because I'd never done it before. And anyone who's hiring their first coach knows what this is like. You're living in fear and lack and not enough. What if this doesn't work? What if he or she is not who they say they're going to be? What if all of a sudden I go bankrupt from all of this stuff? Blah, 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 blah. All a bunch of garbage. The second I made that commitment, I was now a person who pays for coaching. It completely changed my life. I felt somebody who coached me and supported me and loved me and wanted the best version of me. And since that moment, $3,000 turns to $5,000, turns to $10,000, turns to $12,000 for coaches, because I can get to where I want to go faster by the people who have already done it. And I want to be around other people who are about this life. So you're consistently leveling up. And this isn't about the money. This is about the commitment to myself. I am someone who is willing to invest in myself. So really the high level answer to this is invest in myself sooner. It took me 10 years out of college before I started investing in myself. I could only imagine a kid graduating college right now with access to this conversation right now, to coaching programs, to books, to podcasts, to Audible. Holy smokes, man. Like, you could be an entrepreneur at the age of 21 and do amazing things. This was nowhere on my radar back then because this didn't even exist back then. We didn't have access to podcasts and learning. It was like, I finally found Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that book. And that was my first book that I read. Like, that's how this happens. Now, someone could just start working with me immediately and be like, congratulations. Boom, let's accelerate. Let's take 10 years off of what you have to grow.
And there you have it. That was the end of the final episode of season one of the Life Shift podcast. I hope that some of these little reminders from all of my generous guests has inspired you. And you are coming back for some more next week in season two of the Life Shift podcast. Thanks again. I appreciate you so much. If you are enjoying this podcast, please take the time to rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you listen to your podcasts and you're able to rate and review. It's super helpful and it will help these episodes find the ears that need to hear the messages the most. Thanks so much.